Hi, this is Mish Hancock, and you are listening to Mishmash, a place where I get to talk to the weird, wacky, wonderful people of this world, people I adore and want to know more about. Today, my guest is Betsy Cohen. She is the executive director of St. Louis Mosaic Project, which attracts more foreign-born talent to St. Louis. She's also a past, not too far in the past, TEDx St. Louis speaker. Hi, Betsy.
Hey, Mish. Good to be here.
I know. I'm so happy to see you. So let's start with TEDx, because that's like exciting and fun and really, really new. And your talk went up not too very long ago. Tell me about your talk, what you just loved about doing it. Just let's talk TEDx.
It was extremely exciting to take a beginning idea about the value that immigrants bring to our communities and our economies, and then work with your team and figure out the right way to say it, the right examples. And truly, I think one of the things I learned was how to be a better storyteller.
That's a big part of a talk. That is a big part of a talk. And you think to yourself, oh, it's about one idea, and I only have to talk for a few minutes. That makes it all the more difficult.
Yes, because here it's a 10-minute memorized talk. So you have to have good material. I think part of the workshops that we did were extremely useful and somewhat painful to go through, of how to be creative, how to be personal, how to be visual, how to create slides. For me, there was one about how to tell your own personal story about why you do the work you do, which is something I had never done in all the years I've done talking about immigration. I've never talked about my own family's immigration story. And in this process, I was encouraged to write about it, and then I didn't put it in my talk. And then I was encouraged to start my talk with my personal family immigration story. And I found that people really were interested to hear that.
Well, yeah, it's a way to get the audience to know you a little bit better. And it is interesting to be on that stage, because you're on the red rug. There's nothing between you and the audience. It's a very vulnerable place. But I have to say, our TEDx audiences are really awesome.
It's a very welcoming audience. When I stood on the red dot and looked at the audience kind of in the blackness there, I had my opening line ready so I could just get started and then start telling my story and then start to tell the story about other people. And that was very motivating.
Very cool. So thank you, because I know the commitment. I mean, it's a huge commitment, and it's difficult. I mean, you have to understand these speakers are, I mean, it's like almost every week you're doing something for your talk, and then you're in front of us, all of us who have done this how many times, you know, and we're critiquing things and asking you to change things and asking you to take some things out and put other things in. And it's really the process.
I think you have to be open to being coachable.
And
for sure. I work with lots of foreign-born people in the work I do, and some of them are very coachable. And when I suggest things for them to make them more employable, they immediately grasp it. And others just wait, they struggle, they don't want to hear it, and they're not very coachable. So because I do that for others, it made me realize if I did this, I needed to be open to being coached.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what you do. I mean, you and I chit-chatted a little bit before we started the podcasting, but it is a difficult subject. And one of the things that you said to me, which really, I was like, wow, that's so true. You said, you know, the word immigrants, it's used negatively, you know, most of the time. And I love that you are putting the positive spin. So yeah, what a bummer that immigrants are always used negatively.
Yes, I think that this is, you know, very much of a political word that is being used. And many of the examples that we hear on the news are ones that various political people think will inspire their voters. So they typically are talking about some of the problem areas that our country does need to solve about immigration. But what they don't focus on, because it isn't really controversial, is all the work authorized foreign-born people that are here, that come here, that we need here, and that we need more of. And so they really don't talk about all the work authorized foreign-born immigrants that we depend on. They also don't, you know, understand often the word refugee, and again, how refugees come and they're here legally, they bring skills, they bring talents, but you often hear, you know, just hear the word used kind of negatively because people don't understand the humanitarian and the foreign policy and the talent reasons that we bring people from around the world here under the refugee programs.
Well, and then you think about talent too, like kids that are coming here and going to school. And they're coming into your area and they're going to school here and, you know, we're teaching them, they're talented, they've got all these amazing skills. We want them to stay.
Well, you know, we have about 1 million international students that come. And right now, the majority growing area is those that are coming from India. Over half of them are in the STEM fields, which is where our country needs talent. Mm-hmm. We can grow our own talent, but that takes time. And so we do. We need to work with our international students and our employers to bring them together. And that's something that the St. Louis Mosaic Project does do. We work with 17 universities, their career services, programs that we can help educate through the universities with what they already do to help make those international talented young people more attractive for our employers to hire either for a few years or potentially to sponsor longer term.
So are there any other areas of expertise that are needed right now that we should be looking to immigrants for that maybe United States kids are not going into right now?
I think it's more that we just as a country have an aging population. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to need more people in healthcare, with everyone from people that are going to help home healthcare, which might be people that don't have the English skills to use for more higher paid jobs, as well as people in the medical communities, the hospitals, homes and senior living, as well as medical care. So a lot of international people could be available to fill those jobs. And then we have technology jobs that are really important, from artificial intelligence to the IT department at your local school. So we need talent and we really need more visas. We have a limit of how many visas the country offers. And that's one of the things that keeps me up at night, is that we don't, as a country, have enough visas to fill the talent we need when unemployment is so low right now. Mm. And there are ways, if unemployment rose for native-born people, we could take immigration down. But if unemployment is low, we could take it up, like right now. But that doesn't seem to be on the agenda in Washington, D.C. Immigration is federal. They would rather talk about some of the areas that they can have more polarized vote mobilization strategies about.
Yeah. Not the stuff that's really important. We need important stuff. So tell me about, like, what does a day look like in the life of Betsy Cohen?
A day in my life involves working with our St. Louis Mosaic Project team within the World Trade Center and how we are helping people connect to jobs and also employers. We announced a new Mosaic Ambassador company last week, True Manufacturing in Fenton, which hires a lot of foreign-born people at all different skill levels, and we're working with companies. That might be on one day, and then later in the day, we're talking about ambassador schools. We just are announcing Ladue High School District. The whole Ladue District is a Mosaic Ambassador School District, and what are they doing with their staff that's foreign-born, their families that are foreign-born, children, and then we bring them together. And then individual coaching. So in the last day, yesterday, working with an Afghan doctor who is here and he's underemployed. So we've been making introductions for him to some better opportunities in the medical field. Last night, I was getting an email about an international student who's looking to have her mentor help her find a job and how to get advice for an international student. And today, it's a woman who's originally from China, who's in a financial job at a company in St. Louis, but is looking to network for other opportunities. So we're trying to determine how to help her. So we're thinking about connections in the community, talent, and how to make that more robust for the region. That's what we spend our time on.
Wow. And I mean, I like this idea because you have people that mentor them that are within the community that can help them figure out the landscape.
Correct.
Of St. Louis and who do you need to know and how to make connections. And
so that's called our professional connector program.
Okay.
So for example, this woman in finance, when I talk to her tomorrow, I'll try to understand more about what her particular interests are and which kind of companies and fields. And then we will look from the St. Louis Mosaic Project, the World Trade Center, who do we know that we could make some networking introductions for her? Because all people need connections, and often our foreign-born community doesn't have as many connections, you know, as you, Mish, might have, or as I might have, or as the World Trade Center has. So they often don't have as many connections, so we need to open doors for them.
So when you hear, I mean, and we often hear this, well, the immigrants are taking our jobs away. And then you're saying, well, there's jobs that need to be filled. I mean, why does this thought, why is it so pervasive, this, well, they're taking our jobs away?
Yeah, that's probably the most frequent question I get, which is, are they taking our jobs? Mm-hmm. And I think that comes from a scarcity mentality that we only have a small number of jobs. And, you know, they all have been filled with native-born people, and why would we need others? And so the facts about how many openings we have in STEM, the facts about how many healthcare workers, the facts about entrepreneurship, starting businesses so that our neighborhoods have new businesses, both Main Street businesses or technology businesses, the facts speak to a different story. And so mm-hmm. then you have to try to help people say, you know, someone in your family might be unemployed or underemployed, and we certainly need to work on that. And we have needs to educate and develop the 95% of our region that is native-born. No doubt we have wasted talent. We need to work on that. But we do have 5% and a growing number of foreign-born that can help us with other opportunities so we can be a more diverse, growing, economically profitable region. And it adds to those of us that are already here.
Right. Oh, thank you. I love this work that you're doing.
Thank you.
And so I know your talk just came out recently.
Yes.
But how fun has that been to share your talk and get feedback from people? And you've got a lot of cheerleaders out there.
I have a lot of cheerleaders, a lot of people who share in this work. So many of the immigrants that I work with, they've been writing on Facebook and on LinkedIn that I've posted the links to the TEDx talk, that they're saying, yes, this is my story. Yes, this is why I'm part of this connection through you, Betsy, and through the St. Louis Mosaic Project, and, you know, how uplifting it's been, how motivating it's been, how they're all part of the journey. And four of the people were part of the stories that I told on the stage, mm-hmm. and all of them have been writing back to me about how rewarding it was for them to be able to have me tell their story and to see it up on the stage, and now for them to share it with their family and friends here and abroad. It overall shows that St. Louis is a welcoming region. But it's such a kick to get the feedback from people.
Yeah.
And for many people who maybe don't know what I do or what we do, when they see these stories, they're like, now I get it. Now I see more about the talent that our region has or could grow. And it makes more sense to me versus what I see in the news.
And you get a bigger picture of what's going on.
Totally
you get a
bigger
different picture.
Picture
of what's going on, the picture that a lot of people don't know. This is the idea worth spreading.
Yes.
Is that this is not what you hear in the news and in the media all the time.
Another aspect for me was, as I was going through the preparation for my TEDx talk, I was posting things that were more vulnerable than I normally post. I was posting about how hard it was. Mm-hmm. I was posting about being coached. I was posting about how hard the memorization, because sometimes people, they look at someone who is in a higher role and they think it's so easy. Betsy talks all the time. This should be easy for her. And the answer was, it was not easy.
No.
And it took months of work and evenings and Zoom calls with my coaches, rewriting, memorizing. And literally the month before the talk, I got up in my pajamas every night at 1 a.m. I woke up, I would go into my living room, I would give my talk, and then I would go back to bed.
Oh my gosh.
And I was just scared to death because memorizing it and doing it and delivering it was really scary. And I posted, and people were interested that I was being more vulnerable, posting how hard it was. And now this week I could say, see, I did it.
All that work paid off.
I did it. And now when I was able to see the video and when I was able to see it myself from the audience point of view, not from myself on the stage, I saw that I was very calm on the stage, and that was rewarding to see after all that practice.
It's so true. Because people on the tech, it looks easy. And it's like, oh, well, of course they know this. This is what they do. But it looks easy because there has been so much time and preparation behind that. That's why it looks like just talking off the cuff,
right?
As opposed to very much memorized. You know, so much work, so many different people have gone into looking at this talk and figuring it out. And then the speaker, you, lots of practice, practice, practice. I mean, you're practicing this until you are so sick of saying it. But the thing is, once you get on that stage, it's like, I know this thing and I know I can do this.
Yes. It's, you know, it's a personal challenge. And so, you know, you really feel good when you've landed your performance.
Yes. I love it. It takes commitment. So tell people where they can find out more about you, Mosaic Project, all the things you do.
So the St. Louis Mosaic Project is at stlmosaicproject.org. And it talks about all the programs we have that work with foreign-born professionals, international students, networking for newcomers. We have companies that email us when they have newcomers moving to the region, and all the information about how someone could either be a mentor or if they need assistance, it's at the stlouismosaicproject.org website, or they can connect with us directly. And then for me personally, I have a website called welcomeyouarehired.com. And at that website, I share information about a book that I wrote called Welcome to the USA, You're Hired, A Guide for Foreign-Born People Seeking Jobs. And looks like this, which is really all the best tips and advice I've learned over my 10 years leading the St. Louis Mosaic Project. And then just this week, I've launched a new ebook called 10 Hiring Trends for 2024. Because what happened is, right now, the job market is very different than when I wrote the book in 2021. And we have artificial intelligence and LinkedIn, and we are not in Zoom anymore. We're in person, like today. And so I wanted to address, for foreign-born or native-born people, what do I see as the top 10 trends for hiring right now that can be more immediate, that job applicants can be more relevant and have a better chance? So, for example, one thing I'm seeing is that being in person is more important than ever versus Zoom, which is certainly useful. And Zoom is transactional. Mm-hmm. And for example, we could do a podcast on Zoom.
Yeah.
But when you're in person, something different happens. There's a relationship, a trust, a spark, before and after. Ideas happen. So I'm encouraging foreign-born applicants who might say, oh, you know, I don't have a car, you know, get an Uber. Go be in person if you want to get hired, because that's how relationships form.
Yeah, that
so that's
makes
one
sense.
Of the 10 trends that I'm seeing is how events in person, interviews in person, all these in-person things, where possible, are going to make employment better.
Oh, very. What a great resource. Thank you for that. So can I ask you some fun questions?
Sure.
All right. So when we're kids, we always hear, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? What you're doing now, did that have anything to do with anything you thought about when you were growing up?
Well, when I was growing up, we had international people that came to our house for dinner through the World Affairs Council. So I always had a global aspect. I was part of the Model UN when I was in high school. I was an exchange student. I always gravitated toward international people and activities. So I think there was always an interest. I spoke a little bit of two languages and just always was interested in international affairs, international people. It was kind of planted in my brain from a young age.
Oh, good. Cool. All right, this next question, because I happen to know this about your husband.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite Taylor Swift song? Her husband's a Swiftie.
Oh, my husband.
Not lying.
My husband is a very calm doctor. And when people learn that he is a Swiftie, and that we, you know, had to go to Kansas City to hear her, and he gets gifts that are Taylor Swift gifts that are given to him, and he knows every fact about her flight from Japan to the United States, no matter what question I ask him. I think all her era's work I like. I like her old songs like Bad Blood. Her song about the St. Louis heiress is very interesting.
Oh, I don't know this.
So, there's many of the songs, and her St. Louis connection is with the one about the St. Louis heiress.
What is I don't know anything about this song.
I'm not remembering the exact title, but
okay.
We will find it.
But okay, I love
but
it, though.
It's
we can
one
Google
of her stories.
This. Mm-hmm. a St. Louis yes. heiress. The Taylor is.
Yeah, she was involved in buying a home that had once been owned by a St. Louis heiress.
Ooh, very cool. So I love it. And I met your husband. What's your husband's name again?
Bruce, Dr. Bruce Cohen.
So Dr. Bruce, and I met him, and you do not look at Dr. Bruce and go total Swiftie.
No,
right
no,
there.
You no. don't. His office staff gave him Taylor Swift holiday gifts. He's and he
How
just loves
fun.
That. Loves it, and it's been something fun for us.
Were you guys like all into watching the Super Bowl and how many times?
Yes.
I think it was like they've showed her 11 times or
Definitely.
Something like that.
We were sitting there going, you know, when will they show her? What is she wearing? you know, when will she get to be on the field? So we were quite interested, but he's brought me along with his strong interest.
I love
in
it.
Taylor Swift.
I love it. How fun. So this podcast, my whole reason for doing this podcast is to talk about kindness, and everything that you do is kind. Everything that you're doing on behalf of the St. Louis region and the immigrants, kind, kind, kind. But just share with us a top of mind thought about some sort of kindness you either received, you were given, or that you witnessed.
When I was an exchange student living with a family in France, people were very kind to me because my French wasn't perfect and I had to get by. And I think I felt that people really tried to make my exchange experience valuable and were kind to me. I had a guitar with me and I would sing songs in English and French, and people were kind. And as an exchange student, I felt that kindness. And so now I feel that with our international people that are here. And when I meet international people and when I encourage other local people to mentor and get involved with our international community, I know that when they put themselves out to be helpful to someone who's a newcomer, it will reflect back on them and they will gain a better view of the world. So it goes both ways. They think they're being kind to someone, but in reality, when that person offers them, you know, a Afghan tea, or they get kindness back and then they are benefited. So it's just such a abundance mentality if you see the kindness that can go both ways.
I love that. Yes, abundance mentality. We need more of that. The scarcity thing just doesn't do anybody any good.
No, and we have so much. We've got space here. We have population in the region that is stagnating and declining. We have neighborhoods with space. We have storefronts that have space. We have schools that are closing. And if we had more foreign-born people, and if we kept more of our own local people, we could have schools that are growing and not closing.
Yeah.
So we need an abundance mentality if we want to have growing neighborhoods and schools and economies for this region and the state.
I love it. Betsy, thank you for everything that
you're
you
welcome.
Do.
It's
thank
fun.
Thank you. Yeah, it's amazing. And I've known you for a nice chunk of time now, and I've always loved hanging out with you. So thank you for coming and hanging out with me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Mish. It's just a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And all of you listening out there, you are listening to Mishmash Podcast. So go learn more about the immigrants, wherever you are listening from. Learn more about the immigrants in your community and what they can do for you. And let's take that word and make it positive, not negative. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.